Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they finally got a win. We finally beat the Chicago Bulls. And as you already know by now, that doesn't mean a whole lot for the lottery odds. But you know what? It's a bit of a feel-good win. Jetty Osman is playing absolutely fantastic right now. Some good signs from Colin Sexton. And to talk about it is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Double digits. Clap, 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 clap. How about it? It was a game that, you know, after the Cavs got embarrassed at home against the Bulls, it was only fair that the Bulls embarrassed themselves at home against the Cavaliers. Dang, Adele's season is lit. He actually was actually pretty fun in this game. Jetty's been playing quite well, even though this wasn't his most efficient game in the field. It was a fun one. Nothing much more to say about it, like at the, you know, on an individual level than that. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, when the Cavs have matchups against teams where they kind of have a chance to actually win, which is rare, it just is so disheartening when they just get wrecked.
Yeah.
It's just such a pleasant surprise when they play well. So,
I mean, right now we're averaging a win a month, and the last time we beat a playoff team, actually it was two playoff teams back-to-back, we beat Philadelphia and Houston on back-to-back nights.
That was a fun stretch.
Since then.
And I like, and well yeah. done with the shade you're in the middle of throwing.
Yeah, since then we've only beat these lottery teams like the Lakers and the Bulls, but it's still good to go out and get a win there.
Well, we're going to have to get our Lakers shade off while we can.
Hey, first of all, I want to get your take on this, because obviously what Carter is alluding to is the news that Anthony Davis wants out, which isn't really surprising given just the shit show that's been the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, if LeBron forces Davis to go to the Lakers and they build a super team, I don't feel like I'm wrong here. Like, my whole thing has been, LeBron didn't go to L.A. because of the young guys. He doesn't believe in these guys. And no. It's because they're a blank slate. And, I mean, now you have people like Brian Windhorst that's speculating, oh, it'll be AD, LeBron, and Kyrie with the Lakers. And it would be funny to see Anthony Davis parked in the corner. And it would also be great for all the Lakers fans that said, no, we're going to teach LeBron how to play and how to win, for them to just go with, okay, Kyrie and LeBron are initiating offense. We're just going to take what Cleveland had.
I don't support Kyrie LeBron fan fiction out of Brian Windhorst.
It's a little hurtful.
I think it's the wrong tack to take. Also, it's just weird, like, would anyone be doing that if he didn't say like six nice things about LeBron and a clear PR stunt like a week ago? I don't know. It does feel a little predetermined that Davis is going to be in LA. Feels like one of those things where the machinations have kind of forced that. But, you know, I think you said on our Discord chat, like, hey, Paul George tried to pull the same move and he was very explicit about what he wanted to do and what he didn't want to do, which was re-sign with anyone but the Lakers. And, you know, a team like the Thunder took that chance, and it's going to pay off for them. The Raptors weren't on Kawhi's list. I think that was a right move.
I can't think of an instance where a team that's in possession of a star that wants out has taken less in order to send them to a team that they want to go to.
Like, what tends to happen, it seems, is just like another team will come in and offer them something they want, you know, like, you know, as much as you might have not liked the Paul George return at the time, you know, they clearly were big fans of Oladipo. They turned out to be right in that. Yeah, and that's what they wanted to do. They weren't going to just take a Lakers poo-poo platter. You know, I think this is something we've criticized the Lakers for in the past couple of years, which is just like waiting for the league to come to them. And, you know, there are, as much as we like to pretend that, you know, LeBron and a few agents control everything that happens in the league And yeah, I guess not even pretend. A lot of that is true.
Right.
But there is randomness here. There is, it's a little bit more complicated than people like to pretend it is, you know? The Lakers, you know, maybe Paul George ends up a Laker if Magic Johnson doesn't shit all over D'Angelo Russell on the way out, who he shares an agent with, you know, like right.
And,
all this
and
stuff.
Julius Randle.
Nothing happens in a vacuum, and there's a lot of butterfly effect stuff that happens around this league. So as much as we like to kind of credit these master chess players, even the best chess player would tell you, you still have to, you know, you still have to react to some extent to what your opponent is doing. And, you know, LeBron, Pelinka, the Rich Climates of the world, they can only control so much. So I am interested to see if Brow just ends up with the Lakers, like we all kind of expect, or if someone comes in with a Godfather offer out of nowhere and gets this done. I will say it's hard to find a very good taker, that isn't either the Lakers, Celtics, or Knicks. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. I know you like the Sixers. I know you're on team. You'd trade Embiid.
Hell yeah.
It just doesn't feel worth it to me.
They're not going to. I mean, that's me playing 2K GM there, and
I just don't like trades like that. Like you're not. I don't feel like you're significantly upgrading the team long term. Like maybe like by a few percent. It does feel like the Raptors need to do this, right?
Yeah, the Raptors need to do it. The Embiid thing is just, I don't believe that guy's going to stay healthy. I think it's going to get really bleak in a hurry there and head towards Odin territory. But you're right. Raptors should obviously get in on it. I think the Knicks offering Porzingis, Knox, and their first-round pick is really...
That's too much.
It probably is too much. But, I mean, if that's where they're willing to go to, they're going to get Anthony Davis. The only thing I really care about is now, as you said, master chess players, they don't control everything. At least Lakers fans are realizing who's at the fucking table now. I mean, they thought Magic and Pelinka are pulling strings. No, it's LeBron. He's running this organization. He went to your team because it's a blank slate and it's in Hollywood. Anyways, that's enough about that. We'll find out more as more information becomes available. But I really want to talk about Jetty.
Well, I'll just say this, Justin. I'm glad that we got to be the first podcast to touch on the Anthony Davis news.
Yeah, we're really
we're had to tell everyone that it was an emergency, so we're fucked.
Yes, exactly. We're ahead of the curve there, but yes, Jetty in January has been really encouraging. It seems like the game slowed down a little bit for him. I was offended that the league and the referees are not helping out his percentages by giving him calls at the rim. That's still frustrating the hell out of me. But when you look at his numbers overall for the month, 14 games in January, true shooting percentage of just shy of 59, shooting 37% from three, 14 points per game. It just seems like the game is kind of slowing down for him. His shot from long range is, the form is more consistent than it's been in the past. They still give him the ball with 2 seconds left in the shot clock, a little more than I'd like. But you know what? This is really encouraging for what will happen when he's put into a role that's kind of more suited for who he is as a player, rather than this high usage initiation role. But it's really, really encouraging and one of the few bright spots that we've had in a while.
Yeah, I think that he's kind of simplified what he's doing in a lot of ways. And I think that's probably best for where he is as a player right now. You know, he's not a point forward, a do it all, a passer, a shooter, a slasher, a driver. You know, that's just, he's not LeBron. And, you know, we've joked about them running him in LeBron's place in some sets from last year. But you know, he's just really not that kind of player. And what he has been able to do is just kind of get shots up in places where he's comfortable, whether they're threes or these kind of haberdash drives to the lane, not taking a ton of mid-rangers. You know, it still feels like for him, it's either the three is looking good and he looks good, or the three looks bad and he does not look very good.
Yeah.
More often than not. But that's kind of the way that's how role players play, you know, like
for sure.
That's not, there's no shame in that. And it really is looking good, and he's really getting it off a lot faster than he was earlier in the season, it feels.
Yeah, yeah. The form's holding steady. He's getting it off quicker. The other thing too is obviously his back is healthy now. I think that had been a bit of an issue. He's finishing more of kind of those wild attempts at the rim where he's doing the reverse layups and stuff like that. He seems to have better touch there, and he's also just not forcing shots as much. The Chicago game was a little different just because there were so many opportunities that he went to the rim, he absorbed contact, but they were just letting a lot go on both ends of the floor. So he was clearly getting visibly frustrated.
We call that this ref does not want to work Cavs Bulls.
No, and that is absolutely fair.
Did you ever ump or referee for like youth sports?
I did. I remember I was.
I never did. And I always kind of regretted it.
No, it
you said it not to not have the experience.
It makes you very aware of just how difficult it is. It's like, okay, well, that was a foul, and I'm just kind of watching it as I would as a fan. I'm just standing there, and I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, I got to
blow. Oh, yeah, I got to call it. Yeah. Did you ever kind of let some stuff go in the interest of speeding along a game?
Yes. Grade 7 basketball. I want to get the hell out of there.
A parent ever curse you out?
Not when
this is one of my favorite
only when I was coaching. I also got a round of applause for getting thrown out of a game as a coach.
Oh, hell yeah. What did you do? How'd you get thrown out? Do you curse?
No. So if the ref of the game was somebody that I had coached and was on my brother's basketball team, and I had gotten a tee earlier because I jumped off the bench and I fist bumped because I got really into the game. And then I had done something similar. And because after I got the one tech, I was like, I could be the first, like, I think at that point I was coaching grade 7 before I was coaching the high school team. But I was like, I could be the first person in the school's history to be thrown out for coaching like a grade 7 team. So why won't I do that? So I was just like hunting for it at that point. I was being excessive on the bench and eventually got thrown out.
Wow. You've always been a goon. Surprise.
that's an accurate statement.
Yeah, I'm sorry to take us off topic, but I'm
you've never done that before.
No, I'm adrift at sea. I forgot it was Monday. I messaged you like at 9:30 p.m. and was like, oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so here we are.
Very sure.
I did watch the Cavs game while I was in Orlando this weekend, so.
Yeah, I believe you. Name 5 of their players.
I'm telling you, this bit that I don't watch is just going to hurt my feelings.
It'll make you stronger in the long run, though, and that's the real important thing.
By the way, what do you think of Dengadel, actually? I think he's looked pretty good in his limited stints. He looks so much like Jeff Green from a distance because he wears Jeff Green's number.
I was going to say the number doesn't
help. I find it very jarring.
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of here for the Dengadel. I mean, now that Delly's back and healthy, and you got Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton, there really wasn't a huge need for campaign there. I didn't hate campaign. I was kind of with it, but he is what he is. Dengadel kind of excites me, especially when he's shooting as well as he is right now. But he's an athlete. I can see the defensive upside. And while we thought Blossom game was going to be our Alonzo G, I'm starting to move the Alonzo G potential over to Dengadel.
Well, the thing that's I kind of like about the way the Cavs have utilized the two-way spot this year and on these short contracts. It's the 10 days, not the two ways. Sorry. But I like the way they've been viewing the 10 days because it is easy to, you know, hey, Blossom game played okay for us for a couple weeks. So why not just extend them for the full year? We have the roster spot, and that's a really easy decision to make. And you know, no one would have blamed them for it. Blossom game probably would have given them marginal minutes the rest of the year, and it would have been fine. But that's not what bad teams need to be doing. Bad teams need to be a diamond in the rough hunting, right. And that means kind of consistently cycling guys in and out, seeing who kind of pops, giving them the opportunities, And they've kind of been doing that. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit more Deng Adel in the next couple games, just as they kind of figure out what he can do. Plus, I mean, they're so wing deficient still with Nwaba out. So I've actually quite enjoyed watching him play. He's it's just nice seeing an actual small forward on the team that's not Chetty.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Poor Jetty. I mean, did you see the graph that was showing, like, last year he was guarding primarily twos and threes, and then this year they have him guarding one through five. Like, he's spending at least like 8% of his time guarding the ones, and has spent a decent amount of time on fives.
Yeah, I can't believe he hasn't looked good on defense. He's got nine different kinds of assignments to play.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, you get him back to guarding twos and threes. I think that's probably a little more his speed. But
yeah, I mean, talk about like the guy who's like, you know, normally when we talk about these small forwards who can shift up to fours and how valuable they are, you're looking at the Wilson Chandlers of these burly dudes.
Not the guy, the guy that's in his
second year. The guy that gets blown over by a stiff, gets blown over by a stiff wind. yeah. But yeah, so having actual honest to God wings on the floor always just looks nice for this Cavs team, because they just don't have very many. But yeah,
would you say to Adel that you've been looking to find someone like him?
Justin, I'm tired. Don't do this.
I have a bit of a rant here. It's a very short rant, but
go for it, Doug.
I've seen some commentary, and I mean, you were off enjoying yourself and doing the whole Disney thing, and
I was at Universal. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's same thing. Rides. You were enjoying yourself, but there was a conversation that came up of, what do these 10-day signings say about Colby Altman's team-building philosophy?
Oh, what was that? Who tweeted that? Let's name names.
I think it was Mikey.
I thought that was outrageous.
Yeah, it was.
I saw that one.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Can you elaborate for the fine listeners?
Basically, it was saying, okay, well, look at this Blossom game campaign. Like, this Deng Adel, Colby Holtman doesn't believe in adding shooting to this team. And this is something that concerns me moving forward. And I'm like, first of all, they're 10 days. Second of all, they listed, like, Clarkson and Sexton, who Clarkson shot, like, 37% from three since joining the Cavs. Sexton's been up at 40%. And, like, sure.
Didn't mention Hood, who at least is, like, a good three-point shooter by reputation.
Well, no, but mention Rose and, like, Crowder. And, I mean, last year's moves at the deadline were to add shooting.
That was so weird.
It was to add
shooting. That was a weird take.
Yeah, and your 10-day like, signing.
How many of these, yeah, how many of these decisions have even been Colby Altman's to make?
Yeah, I think a lot of the LeBron era ones kind of fall on old LBJ there, but yeah
I just old Dan, I thought, man,
yeah, well, for sure.
I don't know, man, it just felt like that's kind of the thing with a lot of G Leaguers, is that like they're either so profoundly unathletic they can't hang in the NBA but they're really skilled, or they're really athletic but they're just not quite skilled enough to make it, or you know, somewhere on that spectrum. And you know, when you're taking shots on these guys, for the most part, you kind of have to take shots on the good athletes that you hope might grow into good basketball players. So, like, when you're bringing guys on these 10 days, you want your Deng Adels. You want your Kobe Simmons. Even Blossom game, I thought, was a decent attempt.
Oh, Simmons. Yeah, that was the other one. Ugh.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, they can't shoot. You hope they learn to. It just feels like such an unnecessary nitpick. You know, I can't think of a team that needs nitpicked less than the Cavaliers.
No, I think
it's like someone who, it's like going up to someone who's got a gunshot wound and saying, "Hey, man, you got a little bit of jelly donut on your face."
And Deng Adel, 75% 3-point shooter for his career. So how about that?
Hot damn!
Yeah,
there's 3 of 4.
No, I think that's a great question. I think, 3 or 4. Or no. I'm looking. Yeah, it's 3 or 4. Anyways, yeah, it's a weird criticism. And I think we're going to find out a lot about Kobe Altman's team-building philosophies this summer. Obviously, that's going to be dictated by where we're drafting and kind of what options are available. But the other thing that I kind of wanted to make note of is with this Anthony Davis news and how things are kind of factoring into the Cavs world here is that an active trade market is a really, really good thing for them. Because if the Knicks are looking to clear space, or if there's teams that are looking for a third team to either take on salary or to provide expiring contracts, that's where the Cavs can come in handy. And we've mentioned this a million times, but there just isn't a lot of sellers, and there's not a lot of teams that are looking to facilitate. And the Cavs can kind of be soulless here and go, hey, we've got these expiring deals. We have a non-guaranteed contract in J.R. Smith. We are able to help you do whatever you want if it means that you're going to give us assets. So I do think that this development is good, especially with the Knicks being involved, because I can see someone like Tim Hardaway Jr. Kind of ending up with the Cavs along with a pick in order to clear up some salary.
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think there's that. But I'm also, in my own way, just a little bit disappointed from the perspective of the Cavs had such a monopoly on being sellers at the market, on the trade market heading into the deadline, where you could kind of say, hey, our wings ain't special, but they're better than nothing. You know, now you got the Grizzlies entering the fray. Now you got the Pelicans ideally entering the fray if they're going to operate intelligently.
I don't think the Pelicans want Hood anymore. I think you can take them out of the
I think you can probably knock them off the list. It just kind of feels like, you know, there's just teams that are now looking to shed, their ancillary players, and any competition for the Cavs on the trade market is really not what you want to see, just given how unappetizing most of their assets are. You know, no one at this point is talking themselves into Rodney Hood as a potential savior. You're hoping that, you know, the Sixers were like, oh, well, we wanted some extra depth or something like that. So from that perspective, it's a little difficult. How confident are you that the Cavs are going to make a trade you're going to like before the deadline?
I mean, I would say fairly confident, because my bar is so low. Like, if Rodney Hood gets traded for like a second round pick, I'm going to be pretty happy, because I just don't want that guy on my team anymore. And I think there's a really high likelihood Rodney Hood gets moved.
I had a mean-spirited Rodney Hood thought.
Okay.
It was like, if he got traded, if someone said to me, like, would I trade Rodney Hood for a ham sandwich? I probably would say yeah, because I don't really want him on the team anyway. And I love a good ham sandwich. And I was just thinking, like, I actually would do that deal. Like, unironically.
I thought you were going to get mean and say, well, if the Lakers trade their entire team for Anthony Davis, then Rodney Hood could they could get Hood for a second round pick.
Hey Justin, what do Thon Maker, Marquise Chris, and Lonzo Ball have in common?
What's that?
They all think they have some fucking control over their lives, and they don't.
Oh, Thon Maker's going to end up on this team. It's going to be.
I would be fine with that. I mean,
fine with it, but it's. You know,
anyone who
you'd expect capable. Him to be title chasing at his age, not looking for
play. The thing about Thon that's interesting is, like, he's been pretty good in sparse playoff appearances. You know, like, anyone who can show anything in the playoffs, I'm always just a little bit more intrigued. I mean, like, any, of course, the Cavs would end up with a center here when all they need are wings. But, you know, whatever. Take a shot. Why not? We'll give him Henson back.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
You, how often do you forget John Henson's on the team? Because every time they Instagram story him, I'm stunned. I'm like, oh, what are you doing here, John?
I like John Henson. He's a good
player. I think I do, too. I like his game. Not as much as you do. You thought he was an all-star or some shit.
But, I never said that.
Yeah, he's having a breakout year at 5-3 a game.
No, it is a real an all-star feature.
What?
Our sponsor, our wonderful, wonderful sponsor. Carter, do you want to tell the people about it?
As you may know, we here at the Chase Down Podcast are big fans of MyPillow, because whatever you're trying to do with your life, whether it's jet setting to Orlando and back the weekend you buy a house, or just whatever the hell Justin does, it all starts with a good night's rest. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter my promo code COZY, and you'll get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go anywhere pillows. I still haven't looked those up yet, Justin, but boy, do they sound great. I would have liked a go anywhere pillow on the plane. I got a neck pillow, but it doesn't quite do the job for me. A go anywhere pillow would probably be better. It's amazing what a difference a great pillow makes, Justin. If you go to MyPillow.com right now, click on their 4-pack, shipping is absolutely free. That's right, no shipping cost. Zippo, zilch, nada. That's my favorite part of the read. I don't know about you, Justin.
No, it's a good part.
It's a fun to say. Don't forget about their 60-day money-back guarantee alongside that no shipping cost. There's nothing better than the gift of restorative sleep. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and use my code COZY to get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com or call 800-966-1472. And remember, my promo code can be used for any offer on MyPillow.com. I'm sorry, that's our promo code, not my promo code. Again, that's promo code COZY. And Justin, even yes. though... Never mind, I'm not going to do it. You're going to have to cut that, sorry.
No, I'm not cutting it.
I'm just going to launch into a full unsolicited pure at
me. That'd be pretty great. I mean, sure, pure... They've premiered now. They don't need us.
Yeah, they don't have to pay us for us to endorse it.
No, that was glorious content that they were providing, and now you can cuddle up with your go anywhere pillow and watch
the Mennonite Mob, baby.
Yeah. Well,
you're.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Manitoba Mennonite Mob.
How about that? You don't mess.
Hell with yeah,
that.
Brother.
Do you know how tough you have to be Mennonite in Manitoba with this -40 weather?
This can't be great.
You got to have some hair at that point.
I found at the airport that on my way back, a lot of people wanted to talk to me about how cold it was going to be where I was going.
Oh.
And it was like, and I was like, oh, I live there. It's, I don't care.
That's prime airport talk right there.
That is prime airport talk. You're right. I should have just taken it. I mean, I did. I was a good sport. But, like, I don't know, man. Unless something I found with Ohio that feels different from my time in Chicago. Sometimes you just forget the little idiosyncrasies of where you live.
Yeah.
There was a blizzard, like, a week or two ago. And not even a blizzard. Like 3 inches went down. Like, it was just a little snowstorm. And people were doomsday prepping. It was like lines out the store at the grocery, like empty shelves. It was awful. And I was like, guys, I think it's only going to be one day. They have trucks with salt and everything. I just couldn't believe it. And I was like, I don't think this happened in Chicago. I think it was worse in Chicago. There's just something about suburbanites. I think they watch the local news. They get all riled up because Jim Ganahl or whatever tells them it's going to be real bad. And they just overreact a little bit.
If you were doomsday prepping for the Cavs and you could only grab 3 players, which would it be?
I think I'd want the best hangs. So from that perspective, I think you'd want Fry, Nance, and Love. Those feel like really good hangs. And like now, they're not gonna do.
What if you're only able to protect them? Let's talk about basketball. Let's say you could go into next year and you can only pick 3 guys. Who would they be?
I would marry Kevin Love. I would kill. Sorry. I don't know. Obviously, it'd be Love, Sexton, and Jetty.
Okay.
Well, I am glad.
I mean, there's been talk. Since
that
there's been talk
is that nonsense ad lib out of you.
Well, you keep cutting me off. I was going to say, there's been talk, folks that would say, yeah, I'd take a second round pick for Kevin Love. I don't need anything more than that. Just get off his contract. So I was wondering.
Yeah, these people are stupid. Oh, it's nonsense. Like the contract, whether you liked it at the time, the contract now exists. So it renders his value very unstable and very uneven, to the point where a trade is just not feasible. It's not like it's so harmful to the, he's not bad. He's not John Wall, where he's just actively keeping his team from reaching its goals, in the moment, you know? So he's going to help the team. He's going to make it easier on Sexton. He's going to help kind of establish some degree of continuity and culture once he's actually on the court. But he's not so good that he's going to like raise your floor. So you don't really need to trade him because he's artificially winning you too many games. But then no one else wants him because he makes too much. So like, I don't understand why we're writing columns about Kevin Love and why we're like even talking. It just feels like a non-issue.
Yeah.
Non-discussion.
It's funny to see that the conversation is, well, Kevin Love's worth absolutely nothing. You can't get anything for him, but the Cavs have to trade him. Like, it's a weird kind of thing. Like, I still think going into next season at this point, if his values bottom out, let's say hypothetically that's true. If you go into next season and let's say you do draft a wing player, and you're going into that year with Jetty, Sexton, Love, Tristan, like, that's going to, if the pieces fit together and you're still not very good, let's say you're on a 38-win piece, but the pieces at least fit together. Love's putting up good numbers. Tristan's playing in a role that makes sense for him. That's going to at least raise their trade value if you do, in fact, want to move them. Or maybe it helps Sexton play a little bit better, learn the game at a pace that makes a little more sense for him and manage his responsibilities. I think it's going to make him look better. But I mean, at the very least, if Love's value has already bottomed out, then you can kind of, if it doesn't work out, if the pieces don't fit or you have more issues next season, you can trade him for nothing instead of just doing it now. Like, I just don't see the harm in holding on to him.
Like, the only reason you would trade Kevin Love right now, or even in the near future, is if what he's doing if his presence is actively harming the Cavaliers, because you can only trade him for, you know, neutral value right now. You're not getting a first out of anybody. I mean, and maybe we're wrong. You know, I don't think anyone expected the Clippers to get the haul they got for Blake Griffin, but Blake Griffin's younger and plays in a style that kind of makes a little bit more sense to the modern NBA, even though he's not much of a shooter. Or, you know, wasn't one. He's really improved that part of his game. Like, Love kind of feels a bit like a dinosaur stylistically from the perspective of, you know, he's not super mobile, can't really switch at a high level unless it's game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals. You know, really more of a catch-and-shoot guy, not a guy who's going to get a ton of threes off the dribble. He just doesn't really, like, he's not what teams are looking for when they're thinking of someone who's going to put them over the top. So, Can't he just stay and be on the team and, like, it's fun, it's nice?
I want to snort up some nostalgia next season.
This is, like, where, and, you know, I like being a forward-thinking person as much as anyone, but, like, this is where this reducing everyone to being an asset line of thinking loses me. It's like, yeah, like, I guess, in a complete vacuum, Kevin Love's value is low. So if they traded him, his value is low and his salary is high. So, like, the opportunity cost of keeping him in a vacuum could be kind of problematic, but it's like, it's Cleveland. The team is terrible. Like, just chill. He won a title there. Can we just chill? Do we have to do this? Like, yeah, do we have to do this every year?
I genuinely think
the only reason, like, you know, I hate when people accuse the media of doing this because it's normally exhausting, but, like, is the only reason we're doing this because we're bored?
I think
we think we're supposed to discuss it.
Yeah, I think it's like, okay, well, we have to talk about the Cavs. So that's the interesting part.
Well, we don't. We do. Well,
no. I know. I'm saying, trying to get into their mindset here on this one.
Sure.
Yeah. I just think that from an outsider's perspective, that's kind of the only real interesting angle. And I mean, I think there's still some interest on what Kevin Love can be in a more featured role. I mean, we're so many years removed from Minnesota Love, but I just want to see it. I don't want to give up absolutely every single reminder that we have of the championship team right now. Like, I'm okay going into next season with whoever we draft. Let's say it's RJ or Morant or Zion or Reddish, like, or Little. I want them playing alongside Love and Jetty and Sexton. And
it's not just sentimental, though. You know, it's like these guys are like his existence will help so much. So much of the struggles of the Cavs this year have kind of been sourced back to the fact that Love hasn't been able to play. You know, let's give it a little time. See how Sexton looks when he gets to run pick and pop with someone as dynamic as Love. You know, see how these guys who are forced one tier too high in terms of offensive responsibility look when they get to shift down one. There's just so many reasons to not be in a hurry to move Love.
Remember how good Jetty was playing off of Love? Like just cutting
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just, you know, I think people think I think an outsider might think we're being like obstinate about this, but like, you know, if you threw out a trade that we thought was good, would make the Cavs better, I think we'd take it.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a long-term better, not just in the immediate short-term future, but those trades just don't seem very likely. And it just, there's not that much upside to trading him, and he adds a lot of value to this team, and I just don't see why we're treating him like he's a negative asset.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And I do think that there's value to be had from his presence on this team. And it's just frustrating. I get it. I understand I'm open to being wrong, but I also like being stubborn. I want to at least see, let's see where it's going next season, and then you can evaluate from there.
Yeah, isn't he coming back relatively soon? It seems like we're getting close.
Yeah, I think him and Tristan are going to come back around the same time, just after the deadline. So, that would be borderline kind of entertaining, and I'm curious to see what pieces we get back. Like, if Tim Hardaway Jr., let's say that's the move where we trade our expiring deals for Hardaway and they give us a pick, and it's Sexton, Hardaway, Jetty, Love, and Tristan. Like, I could see that being like borderline somewhat entertaining basketball on some nights.
Boy, would I like that. I mean, we'll have to have our coaching staff wallow picked up out of their sorrows for it, but you know, that was horrible, man.
Yeah,
that was
you're obviously, for those that aren't familiar, Larry Drew is saying that he doesn't want to be a head coach ever again after this year. Is that what you're referring to?
Jesus, at least wake up on the sidelines first, dude. Like, I don't know, man. Like, and we talked about this on the Carmen pod. Like, I don't even care about his reaction, really, just other than like, I'm not here to throw a pity party for you. But what this is why you don't fire your coach 6 games into the year, because everyone becomes a lame duck. And anyone who's worked anywhere knows that anyone with like their notice in becomes a dog shit employee.
Yeah.
Cavs coaching staff has been on notice for the whole season. So there's no they really can't earn their way into a better job with the team. The talent sucks, so everyone will excuse it. And meanwhile, the Cavs are wasting a whole year. It's a bummer.
They're not growing
or building towards anything.
I did find it interesting that all the names that Lloyd had it was really nice to have Lloyd covering the team for a week or two here, but it was interesting that the names that were listed there were all kind of first-time assistants, and one of the names that I had forgot to mention on the pod with Chris Manning is Jerry Stackhouse, who I think is pretty high on my list of guys that I'd love to see, just because Stack's borderline insane.
And, he is borderline insane. He's the
best. It would be pretty fun to have. I mean, that would be the absolute polar opposite of like Larry Drew in a coma on the bench. Is Jerry Stackhouse like pacing up and down the floor with his mouth foaming? Like that would be fun to me.
Having a guy who can diagram a good defense would be nice, I'll tell you that much.
And he's also in like good enough shape to actually D up in practice. Yeah.
Beat that ass, Jerry. I don't know. I tend to go more on prospective coaching hires, which is we don't really know anything on this stuff. Like, it's just impossible. But, you know, you just want a guy with some player development history, which Stack definitely has. You want a guy with an identity. Stack has that. And ideally, you have a little synergy with your front office.
Yeah. No, that would definitely be nice. So I think we can all agree that I don't think Larry Drew is it, fam.
No. Well, poor guy. I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah.
We're working on a sympathy card here for him at the Chase Down.
Yeah, if him and Mike Longobardi need a ride to the airport, I'll fly down and drive him.
Yeah, as I said in a different conversation, we get paid a lot less to have to watch this stupid team, and no one's sorry for us, Larry.
I mean, when do you watch?
Mean. We should wrap up the podcast. I'm falling asleep.
Yes, we will wrap up on that. I think Exhausted Carter is, I don't know where it relates to how much I love really bummed out Carter, because really depressed Carter is pretty funny on the podcast.
It's not that different.
No, really. It really is. It's pretty low energy either way, but it cracked me up. You get bossy though when you're tired, like you're yeah, just like yeah. Talking over me, you're like no, I'm getting out the words while I'm still awake.
My best friend Cam, he always used to refer to me as a sim. Like when my need bars got too empty, I'd just like stand and like just point at my mouth like ah.
And that's a visual,
long week.
That's a visual I'll never get over. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, we probably just gave Shimbo a good Photoshop. So
yeah, how about that? All right, Carter, thank you for toughing this out and eventually remembering that we have a podcast today. Thank you to our listeners as
happy
well.
To be here, buddy.
Thank you to our listeners for supporting us in quite an interesting year. And we've had our lows, and I think there's going to be more highs in our future.
Watch Pierre on WGN.
Yeah, watch Pierre on WGN. Shout out to my
just pillow.
And if you want to support the podcast, make sure you subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, tell your friends and family about it. Word of mouth's one of the best ways to support us. But the best way, of course, is still subscribing. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, take a screenshot of your review and email it to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we'd be more than happy to send a link to you. So Ricardo and myself, until next time, go Cavs and go get some sleep.
Hell yeah, brother.